Hello, this is Scooter, and thanks for joining me here at Fish Toes. We're going to start off season two now, episode one. So I'd like to take some time to talk about bodies of water and a few other key points, and I'm actually going to start with those. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, getting out fishing and, you know, casting and so forth. So hopefully you're getting comfortable with that. But I want to introduce a few new elements when you're bank fishing or fishing from the shoreline. And I haven't brought these up yet, and I didn't want to create a lot of instances where there was just too much you were trying to pick up all at once. So if you're getting out and you're getting used to casting, the next thing that I find it's very important to focus on, especially when shore fishing, there's a few key points. Number one being, fish are perceptive by nature. They see their prey, they see their predators, and they try and avoid those. So if you go walking up to the banks of a lake, if there's anything nearby and you spook it, you're probably not going to catch that fish, at least for a while. So you want to be cautious. And what do I mean by being cautious? Well, there's a few little things that you can try to do. The first one you're going to hate, it's September now, actually. It's cooling off a little bit, and so that this won't be as bad now. But wearing some darker clothing or some, you know, kind of darker green, darker blue, anything like that, anything that's going to sort of let you blend into the surroundings. I'm not telling you to go out in full camo or a ghillie suit or something like that. I'm just talking about not wearing bright colors. As you approach the water, obviously, if you're in bright colored clothing, you're more noticeable. And the fish, again, are constantly looking up from where they're at because they're looking for predators, they're looking for fish in shallower water and so forth. So you want to be really cautious about how you approach the water. If you just sort of go stomping up, talking to your friends or family, you can definitely startle the fish. In fact, if you watch the water as you approach, and you come up, you may see a big swirl in the water, you know, out in front of you somewhere, and that's probably a fish that spotted you and is now darting off. So what you want to do is, again, wear some clothes that may blend in a little bit more. Some dark greens, dark blues, even black is fine. Though obviously in the summertime, you know, black clothes get to be pretty warm. But even just like a black t-shirt, something that breaks up your silhouette a little bit, anything like that can work really well for you. The other interesting technique sort of to try is, as you've gotten used to fishing and stuff, if you could actually start casting when you're still 10 or 15 feet away from the water. I know that sounds really bizarre, but it can be helpful. In other words, you can cast out. Now, obviously, you can't cast out as far, but if you can cast out there, you can, you know, end up catching fish that are hugging right up on the shoreline that you're going to spook away whenever you get closer. Now, if you catch a fish, you know, you can certainly walk up to the shoreline, but there's always a good chance you could get some big fish, you know, right on the shoreline as it's coming in to get some bait or some feed, you know, bait fish and so forth. And it's hanging out there looking to dart after fish, and you cast in before it ever sees you, there's a much, much better chance that you're going to catch some big fish. So I sort of wanted to get that sort of out there to you, that keep in mind, if you can see the fish, they can see you typically. And there's a lot of times where they can see you and you can't see them because of glares on the water and so and things like that. So always keep in mind that there could be really big fish right to the spot you're walking up to. If you change spots when you're out fishing, do it again. Cast from farther away. And then once you've cast at least a few times and pulled the lure close to you on the spot where you're going to go stand alongside the lake or sit alongside the lake or pond, then you can move up to that spot and then cast along the shorelines. Cast kind of parallel. Cast out 30 degrees, 45 degrees, 60 degrees, 90 degrees out in front of you, so forth. You're going to do that fan casting so that you're sort of covering the water and trying it out. But as long as you've kind of hit the spot immediately in front of you or close to you, you've got a good chance that you can get some of those fish and not spook them. And if you don't catch any fish, there may not be any right there. And then with a little more confidence, you can move up closer to the lake. It is weird because when you go to reel in and you get close to the bank, you know, you might want to give your bait a little pop up in the air to get it up over the edge of the bank there and sort of into the grass somewhere near you. Always, of course, be cautious about if there's anybody else out there with you. You know, you don't want to pop a hook up into the air and it hits somebody else or something like that. And be careful you don't pull it back towards you either. So just a few things to keep in mind on that. Now, the other one we're going to sort of talk about is casting lanes. Now, casting lanes are more or less what they sound like, but you know, in other words, it's when you cast out and you're bringing in, you're sort of in a lane, okay? So when you're out fishing, and we've sort of talked about this a little bit, but we're talking about kind of a grid pattern in front of you, if you can imagine that, you know, you can start fishing along the bank to your left and just working clockwise, fishing about every hour, you know, with your bait, and that's using fishing lanes or casting lanes. Now, where you're going to get the most productive lanes are going to be casting at 45. Why? Because you're getting into each lane the longest. So in other words, you're in, you know, 6 feet out from shore longer, you're in 10 feet out from shore longer, you're in 12 feet out from shore longer, and so on, because you're coming through right at that 45 degrees. So those, when you reel in, that's keeping you in each lane a little bit longer. Now, of course, if you cast right along the shore, you're in that close shore lane for a long period of time, but you're not catching any of the other lanes that you're trying to. Now, once you've honed in and you realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting all these strikes when I'm roughly 25 feet offshore, you can bet along the area that you're in, at least anyways, that that's where the fish are typically going to be, and you can hone in on that a little bit more. So you can change the angle you're fishing, maybe move to a slightly different spot so you can hit those, that range a little bit better. So I thought these were some pretty important things to talk about, just trying to get you kind of a little bit more technique and a little bit more things to pay attention to. Now, if you're like me, I go out all the time, you know, you go with the family and stuff like that, and everybody just kind of walks up to the water and you're talking and stuff. I'm not telling you that you can't do that and catch fish. You certainly can. But if you're going out by yourself, or maybe it's just two of you or something like that going out, give it a shot sometime. Try being a little bit more stealthy as you approach the water. Be a little bit more quiet. Once you've fished it a little bit, you know, you can cast out farther, and then you could talk a little bit and stuff. You don't want to be too loud or obnoxious. If you are wading out in the water, remember, every time you step down and move, you're creating vibrations in the water that are going to move the fish around, possibly spook them. And, you know, spooked fish is a fish typically you're not going to catch. So we kind of want to watch out for that a little bit. Now, when you're fishing in ponds and still water, ponds, lakes, and so forth, This is sort of the technique you're going to use. Now, when you're fishing rivers and streams, they can't see out as well, but you still want to sort of adopt that idea that being a little more stealthy, at least when you first get to a spot, can be really good. So there is a slight difference between the two, but not too much to have to worry about it. The last thing I sort of want to cover with fishing in these types of environments is whether you stay in a spot for a while or whether you move. I've read and I've tried almost every way imaginable, which is, you know, do you continue to hit a spot longer, you know, have patience, or do you move a lot? Okay, and I don't know that there is any set answer to that, but this I will tell you. If you get out and you're fishing a spot and you're not getting any production, you're not getting any bites, you're not getting any fish, if it's the middle of the day, for example, it's probably safe to move on. Now, if it's in the morning or right around a time when the morning or evenings, again, sunrise and sunset are the times that fish are most active. That's usually when they want to feed. So when you're out in a time like that, there is a good chance that you might be at the spot just a little bit too early, and the fish may be going to move through that spot. And so these are things you want to keep in mind, because, you know, say you get to a fishing spot at 7 o'clock and you get nothing, and then all of a sudden at 7:45, it just turns on. Fish are bumping you left and right, you're catching fish, having a good time. Just keep that in mind for future reference, that particular spot around that time. Now, I don't recommend you get there at 7:45 because that's when it turned on. Make sure you're there, you know, quarter after 7 or something, and start fishing. And, you know, you can approach the water quietly and be kind of still, and so you're not spooking any fish because they're not there yet. But then as they move through, you're already set up and in place and ready to rock and roll. So, you know, you want to keep that in mind. When it's the middle of the day and I'm out fishing and I'm in a spot that's not productive, I do have a tendency to move a lot more, because there's not a lot going on that's changing in the environment that's going to cause those fish to move around a lot more. One thing that can, though, is if, like, you've got some trees, for example, casting shade on the water, and you're in a spot where you can see those shadows are moving around on the water, there's always a good chance there's fish that are going to hang out in those in that shaded area. So if you see shadows kind of moving into your area, you may want to hang out a little bit longer and see what happens when that shadow kind of hits there. And don't, you know, it's not an instantaneous thing. It may take a few minutes or longer till, you know, the fish kind of move into that shadowed area. So those are some things to sort of keep in mind when you're fishing, looking for spots and so forth. So let's get back to the bodies of water now. When you go to any kind of body of water, whether it's a river, stream, lake, pond, whatever it is, keep in mind that, let's just talk about lakes and ponds first, but any of them, really any of them, you're looking for structure under the water. Or you can have some structure over the water that's causing something under the water, for example, like a bridge that crosses over the water. And so you've got shaded water, you know, underneath, there's shaded area underneath, and these can be really productive because the fish want to feel protected. They want to feel that they're somewhere safe, and they also want to have spots that they can ambush their prey from. Now, the smaller, real little bait fish and stuff like that, they're going to feed typically on plants and little organisms that live on or in plants or very close by to plants. So if you see some algae, there's a good chance there's stuff growing there, which means there's going to be some bait fish, little fry and stuff like that, that are feeding on, small bugs that are under the water living in the algae. They're going to feed on the algae itself and so on. And then that's just going to work its way right up the food chain. The bigger fish are going to want to eat those. The next size up are going to want to eat them and so forth down the line. So we want to sort of follow that trail backwards. Now, in structure, what's important is that the fish has somewhere to hide behind or be in shade where it's got, especially if you're going after like bass and stuff, where it's got somewhere it can hide, but it can see well to see what it's going to go after and be able to just sort of hide and then ambush, you know, jump out from behind cover, grab whatever it wanted to get, and then typically it'll just dart back into that cover and wait for something else to come along. And they'll do this all day long. But you'll notice that, again, around sunrise and sunset, typically they become a lot more active and they'll roam farther from home, if you will. So if you go up to a lakeside and you see like, okay, here's a boat dock or a fishing pier, and you look in the water and you see lots of bluegill and stuff like that, look for the next closest thing to it, stumps in the water, big rocks, a little drop-off ledge out in the water. These are types of structure where bigger fish can feel safe and hide out, but then they can still see what's going on where there might be some smaller bait fish for them to come after and eat. So they're going to look for two things. They want to feel safe, they want to feel protected, and they want to be able to get food. That's pretty much the primary things for fish. Now, there's other things that come into play, temperatures of water, the amount of oxygen in the water, and so forth. But for the most part, at this stage, we're sort of just talking about a general rule of thumb, if you will. So if you can fish near a pier or a dock and you see lots of small fish, that can be super productive from big fish, especially if you get there early or right around dark. Because again, those bigger fish, they know the little fish are there. You know, they might be hanging out somewhere where you can't get at them from fishing from the shore, but if they're going to move to come in to feed on bait fish and you've got your bait out there, that's a great situation to be in to try and get yourself some bigger fish and more fish. And this is going to hold true whether it's ponds, lakes, and so forth. Now, a few other little tidbits on stillwater fishing, lakes and ponds and stuff. If it's windy out, wind and shade are the two biggest variable factors in when you're fishing. We'll talk about wind. Well, we talked a little bit about shade already, that, you know, the shade is going to move around in the water based on where the sun is in the sky, obviously. So you want to kind of keep an eye on that. So if you can fish, if it's the summertime and the water's warm, you're going to want to kind of fish somewhere where you're fishing in shade, or at least the water's in shade. It's much more comfortable for you, too, if you're in the shade, if it's a hotter day out there. But in any event, keep an eye on that. And so if you're fishing, for example, on the southern shore of a lake or a pond, as the sun is kind of going down or it's getting lower, You know, and if the shade is kind of coming out from behind you and spreading out across the lake, you're in the side that's going to be a little bit cooler quickly. If you're on the northern side, the sun is going to typically hit that side more often and regularly, just because, you know, the way, you know, the sun rotates around the earth and all that kind of fun stuff. So fishing on a northern side of a lake during the summer, you're actually typically fishing on the warmer side. But if it's springtime and the fish want the water to warm up a little bit, or even in the wintertime when it's colder out, they may want to be on that northern side where they're getting more of the sun to warm up the water. The water's going to be warmer there. They can lay out in the sun kind of a little bit more and heat up and so forth. So those are just some sort of things to keep in mind while you're fishing. Now back to the wind. Now, fishing with the wind on the bank can be trying because where you want to be fishing is with the wind blowing in your face, okay? Because what is happening is the wind will push across the water, and let's say, for example, the wind is blowing from east to west and you're standing on the western side of that body of water, the wind is pushing the water towards you. Well, that is pushing algae, small bait fish and stuff will actually kind of push and move along with the flow of the water as it's being pushed to the western side, which means that's a good chance that's where some of the bigger fish are going to be sort of chasing this stuff. And so when you're casting, though, you're casting into the wind rather than with the wind behind you. And that gets a little trying at times. You know, if you're using different weights of baits, something that's really light, it's a lot harder to cast into the wind and stuff. But it typically is going to be the more productive side. It's also the side that ends up, because as the wind kind of churns the top surface of the water a little more, the oxygen, there's more oxygen in the water towards those sides as well, and so that sort of creates a much better habitat. The fish like more air in the water, so that they can breathe easier. There's more fish, or there's more bait fish and more plant life and so forth under the water there that the bigger fish can move in. So these are can be some pretty critical things to try and pay attention to. Now, I don't expect you to go out and implement all these things all in one time. Okay, you know, get out there and just pay attention to a couple until they sort of become second nature. You get the hang of it, see why it's working and what it's doing for you. Again, different times of year are almost going to reverse what we're doing. If you're fishing from the southern shoreline in the middle of the day, that can be much more productive than any of the shoreline along the northern side when it's in warmer months. But when it's in cooler months, you know, you're getting into November, December, you know, maybe it freezes over in the wintertime, but then once the ice is off in the spring, that northern side, there's a good chance it's going to be a lot more productive than the southern side because it's going to have more exposure to the sunlight throughout the day. I am talking about northern hemisphere here, so keep that in mind. Anything I'm telling you is going to be reversed if you're in the southern hemisphere. But in any event, so just kind of keep those things in mind. And again, just sort of pay attention to what's going on. I can never stress that enough that, you know, just pay attention. Like if you go out and you've had a really good day on your drive home, pay attention to driving. But think about what was different about that day, or where were you fishing? Even if you note it down somewhere, just enough to say, okay, hey, it was 80 degrees. I fished on the southern side of this lake on July 18th, or whatever in the heck it is. Doesn't matter. But note it down, and you'll start to see that you will have some common things that are happening, and what, you know, where you can learn and sort of do these things from. Some of you may not care about this at all. You might just think, like, I don't want to pay attention to that stuff. I just want to go out and catch fish. I'm just trying to help you get to be as productive as possible if that's what you want. Maybe you're just trying to get out there and relax and you want to know how to cast and all that. That's great too. However, I always find this stuff pretty interesting to learn about and sort of keep track of, you know, whether it's in my own mind. I've been doing it for long enough that I can sort of keep tabs in my own head. But to be honest, I've been fishing a lot of new waters lately, and I have not been recording anything down, and I really should. I had a really, really productive day at a really small little sort of reservoir pond off the edge of a swamp. We went out and just hammered them. Small fish, small bass, a beautiful colored bluegill, pumpkin seeds, but their bellies were so crazy yellow, it was unreal, and it was just really neat to see. And so we had a really good time. We were only out about an hour. We probably caught 15 fish or close to it between the two of us. Somewhere between 10 and 15 anyways. A couple of the bass were nice 10 to 12 inch bass. So it was a really, really fun day to get out. And they were just hitting a little bit of everything, it seemed like. So it was just a lot of fun. I was trying out my new 2-pound test setup with a real small bait on there. So I was mostly catching the panfish. The missus had a 3-inch Senko, or like a stick bait, wacky rig, no weight. And she was tearing up the bass, so that was great. It was a lot of fun. It was a pretty bright day. There were minimal clouds. It wasn't too hot, but it was warm. It was about 80 degrees or so, maybe a little bit less. And it was towards evening, not dark yet, but till we walked back to the vehicle, it was getting close to sunset. So it was a really productive day. So I do keep track of some little things like that, but it's a lot of fun. It's a part of fishing I really enjoy, thinking about it. And then, I'll get a plan in my head to say, okay, the next day that it's cloudy or it's a light drizzle and it's about 75 degrees, I'm going to go right to that spot and see if I can hit them just as hard. And then if you do and you go out and you hit them, that's really exciting. It's really neat. You're learning the process of what's going on and stuff. So again, it's the most important thing. If you want to get better with fishing and you want to be productive, it's paying attention to what's going on and how different things are reacting and working. So enough about that. Let's get back to the cover and stuff, the structure underwater. So when we're talking about structure, structure again can be the fishing piers and docks. It can be a bridge, a roadway that goes over, that there's pilings and stuff that go down and into the water to support the bridge, or just a bridge that even spans over the water, but it has a nice, good, consistent shadow underneath it. Some big rocks and stuff like that under the water, edges that drop off, trees that have fallen into the water, or stumps that are sticking up out of the water. One thing that's often overlooked are especially if you're fishing somewhere like a reservoir, somewhere where, they've dammed it off and filled it up with water, but it didn't always used to be that way. There's usually some old roads or something, or the old stream bed that's underwater. And those old roadways are typically gravel and stuff, and it's a change in the terrain of the bottom of the lake or pond. And if there's no weeds growing on those become highways practically. Fish know they can get out there and use them to cruise up to the shallows when they want to feed, and without having any kind of impediment from weeds and other stuff in their way. So these areas, really, it's like a deer trail in the woods when you'd be out hunting. They're using these types of things. The old stream beds and stuff typically have little drop-offs and ledges and stuff, so there's a lot of structure and differences in the terrain underneath the water. You're not going to be able to see all these when you're fishing from a bank, and that's okay. You can usually pull up some old maps and find some things. If you jump online, research the water you're fishing in a little bit, that can be really, really helpful for you. If you fish a lot of ponds, and I'm talking small farm ponds and stuff like that, they're crazy. Like some of the biggest fish I've ever caught, the biggest panfish, the biggest bass, stuff like that I've ever caught have been in 2-3 acre private ponds. They might be farm ponds, or maybe it was just a pond somebody had at their property or something like that. They can be super productive, and when you get there, you're going to look at them and think, wait a minute, most of the ones I've ever fished in, you wish, oh, there was a tree falling down in the water and there's some structure in there. A lot of times there's not. So you've got to look at different things. Again, this is a perfect time to fish in areas where maybe there's a tree hanging over an edge somewhere where there's some shade. Maybe you're fishing in a corner where the wind is blowing towards that corner, which is pushing the bait fish and so forth in that corner, and it might be a little bit deeper corner, giving you ups and downs and stuff underwater. So there is probably some form of structure, just not the typical type we might see in a state park or a reservoir or something like that in a bigger body of water. But that doesn't mean there is no structure or other ways you can look at it to find the places that are going to be a little bit more productive. Now, if you are fishing smaller waters, one thing I've always learned is the fish tend to spook a little easier. in these smaller private waters, and they can see you a lot easier because there's just not a lot of place for them to go. And so they may see you approaching from a lot farther off. And they also seem to stay a lot shallower, except in the really cold months. They'll come up in the shallows a lot to warm up during the day, but you know, it seems like they hang out in shallow water. Like, I've caught some big bass in a foot and a half, 2 foot deep water that's, you know, a couple hundred feet wide. You know, it doesn't seem like there would be fish there, but they'll cruise through those areas, but they can see you really easy. So you want to really kind of stay back from the water a little bit, or sort of cruise the shorelines and stuff. So hopefully that's going to help you with a still water. Now let's move on to moving water. So when we're talking about rivers and streams here, and if you're new to fishing, again, fishing still water is going to be the easiest way to learn how to cast and retrieve and what lures do, because the moving water is going to introduce a whole new aspect of fishing. You can do it. It's not that difficult by any means, but if you know how to cast, you know what a lure should fish like. When you're reeling in a lure and you know what it should feel like, you're going to notice variations to that as you're fishing in a river. If you cast straight out in front of you in a river, by the time you get it back to you, it's going to be downstream, and it's going to be coming in kind of an arc pattern moving downstream. That's not to say that's bad. It's just something to keep note of in the way you fish. If you want to fish a spot that's only 25 feet in front of you and you're going to cast out 30 or 40 feet so you can bring it through that area, you're going to need to cast upstream from it so that as you're reeling in, and you can slow or speed up the rate you're reeling in a little bit and until it dips in behind a big rock or something like that, and then fish it a little bit normal and hopefully pull something out of there. Moving water is definitely a challenge, but it's not difficult once you get the hang of the basics of fishing, which again is why it's better to start in some still water ponds and lakes and so forth. Once you've got the hang of that, now maybe you might be saying to me, hey, Scooter, I can only fish in streams and rivers because that's what I live near. And, when I was a kid, I lived, a half mile or so from a stream that was a pretty good trout stream, and I would walk to it all the time. So I couldn't get to any still water, so I was fishing in moving water. Now, you're still going to look for similar things in moving water that you do, which is structure, but some of it's going to be a little different. So for example, let's just say one of the most common things in a river is going to be bigger river rocks. Maybe they stick up out of the water, maybe they don't, but right behind these rocks, the water is not moving. In fact, it might be moving, but it might be moving backwards, because what happens is the water flows around the rock. It's sort of creating a void behind the rock, and then that water is going to curl back in because it wants to fill in that space. And so you end up with some water that's moving in all kinds of funky directions, or maybe moving very, very little at all. And so these can be really productive spots, because if you think about it, when a fish is hanging out in moving water, okay, I'm going to refer to trout in this because trout tend to be pretty much stream fish, though they do stock them in a lot of lakes, so you can definitely catch them in lakes and ponds. They stock them in the springs. A lot of places will stock them in the fall. And they're in there, but they tend to like moving water a little bit more. So when you get to a stream or something like that, and you're looking for these trout and stuff like that, let me rephrase this, because this is where I started. If you had just a square channel, nothing in it, and the water's moving down it, okay, if a fish is in that water, if they want to stay in the spot they're in, they have to be swimming upstream. Okay, now they're not necessarily moving upstream, but they're facing upstream, swimming that direction at roughly the speed of the water in order to maintain their place. So while that works, they don't want to do it all the time. And certain fish, panfish and bass in specific, don't really like that too much. They tend to be able to want to kind of float or hang out in a particular spot without having to work a whole lot to do it. So they're going to hang out more behind the big rocks where the water has either stopped or is moving very slowly, or even in different directions. It might just circle them around a little bit, and they'll just kind of do that. And then they'll watch as the water flows around the rock. They can hang out there watching, you know, one direction or another direction. And if something floats down in the water, some smaller bait fish or some kind of feed or something like that, they can dart out, grab it, and then return to their spot. And they can do this all with minimal effort compared to having to hang out in currents. Now, for the most part, especially largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, you'll definitely find them in rivers. In fact, where I'm from in central PA and then Maryland, where I live now, the best place to fish for smallmouth, and was in fact actually one of the only places to fish for smallmouth, have really been in rivers for me. Occasionally one or two in a lake or a pond, but that's pretty rare. They're sort of a stronger fish. They seem to like the currents better. So you typically will find them in a lake a stream or a river. Not so much in a stream. The bass do tend to like a little bit bigger water. As far as smallmouth and stuff go. But the trout and stuff in a real small stream, you can catch them holed up behind real tiny little rocks out in the river. But again, if you've got a branch or something sticking out in the water that's, causing a, almost like a little dam there where there's a still spot behind it that's deep, they can feel protected there if they can hang out underneath that log, something like that. So we're looking for similar things. The only real added change to it is that the water is going to affect where they're at based on the idea that they don't necessarily want to be swimming all the time. You know, they're going to want to have times where they can sort of rest a little bit, where water's moving real sluggish, things like that. But don't be surprised if you catch them in some quicker moving water and stuff like that too. That can be pretty productive. So the last thing I sort of want to talk about with the streams and the rivers are the sort of what's going to happen with your bait or lure. So when you cast out, it's going to want to go downstream. Now, for example, if you want to bobber fish in a stream or a river, I'm not saying you can't do it. It could just be really difficult, and you've got to sort of have the right setup or the right environmental setup, not your rod and reel per se, but what's going on in the water. So if you've got an area where the water's moving really slow, or right downstream from you, you can see like an eddy or a pool that's forming, and you can cast and get your bobber to stay in that particular spot, you can do it. Another technique is to actually just walk out in the stream or river, or if you've got a good sharp, almost 90 degree bend in the river, you can be on the outside of that elbow upstream. So when you're looking directly downstream, you're almost in the middle of the river or stream. So if you cast out from there down into that stream, wherever you're holding the tip of your rod is kind of where that bobber should stay. Now, the current is going to want to tug and pull it underneath a little bit, so it can be difficult to know when you've got a fish on there. So I'm not a huge proponent of bobber fishing in streams and rivers. I've certainly done it and been productive at it. It's just a little bit difficult to sort of keep an eye on exactly what's going on. So that sort of leaves us, if you're going to bait fish, you're going to sort of bottom fish, or you can even sort of what's called like free float or finesse fish a worm, where it's just going to kind of drift downstream and you reel it in, cast it back out, let it drift downstream, reel it in, and so forth. Again, keeping a little bit of tension on your line is pretty important. But if you're on the side of a bank and we go back to bobber fishing and you cast straight out in front of you and you just watch that bobber, it's just going to drift downstream a little bit and then it's going to start to arc in and it's going to end up on the bank on the same side of the river as you. This is another reason why it can be difficult to fish, bobber fish and so forth in moving water. The water is going to want to do the same thing to you when you cast a lure, or even if you're fishing on the bottom. However, what will happen is whatever weight you have on there, if you're bait fishing, is going to stop. It's going to snag up on some rocks or something like that. And I do say snag up. In other words, it could get to a spot where when you start to reel in, no problem, and it comes in, but you can also get it wedged in between some rocks or caught up in something under the water, and you can lose your line, snap your line or something before you can get it out of there. And that's going to happen. And if it happens, don't worry about it. Tie yourself on another set and keep going. Just try and keep an eye on what's going on. If you're constantly casting out in a river and it's like every time you're casting, you're snagging up, you're going to have to rethink a little bit about what you're doing. Do a little bit less weight. Try fishing in a slightly different spot. Can you move somewhere else where the current and the flow is not being as aggressive on your bait and stuff like that? So those are some things to kind of keep in mind. I think that should sort of cover us on the different types of water. You're going to find everything in between when you get out there and fish. Something to keep in mind, I did talk a little bit about moving around and stuff. If you know you're going to go out in the middle of the day and you know you're, there's a good chance you're going to move around, try some other spots, make sure you're kind of packing light. Nothing's more a pain in the butt than reeling in and then having to pack up a bunch of stuff or tote around a 25-pound tackle box. Think of what you may need when you're out there. If you're bait fishing, all you really need is some bait and some hooks, you know, a few split shots. You want your, you know, your pliers, maybe your nippers, you know, your toenail clippers, or a little knife, or even a little pair of scissors, something like that. A net if you're fishing for some stuff like trout is always a good idea. So just kind of keep in mind what you need. And as you sort of hone in on, you know, hey, this works in this stream, you know, you can sort of refine down what you're carrying with you. But and a lot of times, like, you know, you see the fishing vest, and you can put a lot of stuff in those. So just sort of keep in mind how much stuff you're taking with you and how much you really need to take with you. If you go out and you don't have a productive day and you've tried different things, you go out on another day that's somewhat similar, try some new things. You know, you don't have to take the same things all the time. But as you get used to fishing the waters that you fish in constantly, it's a pretty good idea to, it's a pretty easy to learn what works good and what doesn't work, and so forth. I think that's, one more quick point. If you watch a lot of the pros, they will typically tell you to try and go for the aggressive bass first. In other words, they'll tell you, you know, throw something shiny, something loud on there, and zip it through an area and see if you can get the aggressive fish. And, you know, again, they're typically fishing, though, for a tournament or something like that, and they're going after the bigger fish. If you're going out to enjoy yourselves, I recommend doing finesse fishing first. Something light, quiet, subtle, and get it out there in the water and see what you do, and then fish it. And then you can always just slowly increase, like, what you're fishing. You know, go a little bit bigger, go a little bit brighter, go a little bit louder, and just kind of keep moving it up until you see what you end up catching and what's really working for you in that water. But if you go really loud and shiny at first, there's always a chance that you're just going to spook the fish that are looking for something a little bit more subdued or relaxed, as opposed to, you may catch the big fish, don't get me wrong. But again, you know, if you're in that area, it won't hurt. You might not get those aggressive fish until a little bit later if they're still hanging out. But if you start subtle, you're not going to spook all the fish away. You may still spook some and stuff like that. If you just kind of gradually move up, I always felt you kind of increase your chances. You might catch a few of the more subtle fish and then, you know, some of the more aggressive fish as it goes on, because the more aggressive fish aren't going to be as startled as easy. And, you know, they'll hang around, and they may just hang around till you do throw something out there that's a little bit more, aggressive for them to go after. So sort of keep that in mind too. So I hope these are helping you out. Definitely send me some feedback. Take care of yourselves, tight lines, and we'll talk to you real soon. And thanks for listening to Fish Toes.